Okay, good morning, everyone. The weekly shiur in Maseches Sukkah is sponsored by Yitzweiss CPA. Branch out in a new direction this tax next tax season. Breakfast is sponsored, as always, by Bagel Munch, Lili Nishmas Shimon Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim. And we're up to Sukkah Daf Memches. We're at the Mishnah, clean start at the Mishnah, four lines from the top of Sukkah Daf Memches. And we are now talking about various things. We had just finished talking about kind of sukkah on Shmini Atzeres and that whole controversial topic. Now the Mishnah starts with a clean slate and is talking about other things that we do on Shmini Atzeres, specifically Hallel Vasimcha. Hallel Vasimcha. And Hallel is referring to the Hallel that we know, the Hallel that we say. And Simcha is referring to the Shalmei Simcha, which was a carbon that was brought on each of the days of the Yontif. And it says, Hallel Vasimcha Shmona. That you say Hallel all 8 days of Sukkot, Hallel Shalem, and you bring Shalmei Simcha on all 8 days of Sukkot, and we'll get into the Gemara, into the source for how you know that you bring the Shalmei Simcha even on the eighth day, even though the Psukim seem to only talk about Simcha on the first seven days. Kate said, how does this work? Malami Shechayev Adam Bahalel Uvesimcha. That's basically what I just said, which is to say that Hallel and Simcha are noheg not only on the first 7 days, but also on the last day, just like there are noheg on all the rest of the days. That's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, how do you know this? Minahani mili. How do you know that the Shalmei Simcha are brought on the eighth day, on Shmini Atzeres? Because we know Shmini Atzeres, as we've just talked at length about, is a regel bifnei atzma. That's the first three words on the daf. Regel bifnei atzma, leaving pazar kashav. For a whole bunch of various reasons, or all various factors, Shmini Atzeres is considered its own independent holiday. And yet, there's no mention of simcha when it comes to Shmini Atzeres. The word simcha in the psukim refer to the 7 days. So, how do you know that Shalmei Simcha are brought on the eighth day on Shmini Atzeres? We bring up Brisa, Detaner Rabbanan. V'hayisa ach sameach. So that's an extra word of simcha, as Rashi points out. The pasuk says, "V'chaga sukos tasselcha v'samachta b'chagecha." Right. The words v'samachta b'chagecha are near the commandment of sukkos generally. And then it says again, "V'hayisa ach sameach." So there's an extra mention of simcha. L'rabos lele yom tov ha'achron. So at first glance, the Brisa suggests this comes to include the evening of Shmini Atzeres, meaning the night after the seventh day of Sukkot, going into Shmini Atzeres, that day is Mechuyav in Shalmei Simcha. Now we know, as Rashi points out at length here, that Karbanos are only brought during the day. You can't bring the Shalmei Simcha at night. So if we're going to include a night observance of some kind of Karban, it's going to refer to the eating of that karban going into the night following its being having brought to the base of Mikdash that day. So the Brisa first suggests that the extra simcha is adding the eve of Shmini Atzeres, the night after the seventh day, as if to say you should bring the Shalmei Simcha on the seventh day and then continue eating them into the night. L'rabos lele yom tov ha'achron. And then it stops itself and says, or maybe not. Oh, you know, El Yom Tov Harishon. Maybe it's also to include, or only to include, the first night. Meaning you wouldn't have Shalmei Simcha on the first night of Sukkot, because as we said, the carbon comes during the day. And so in order for you to have a carbon at night, like for a carbon Pesach, for example, you have to do that on Erev Pesach, right? So on the Shalmei Simcha, if V'Yisach Sameach, which is an added simcha, an added element of simcha, an added element of the Shalmei Simcha, is coming to include the first evening, the first night of Sukkot, that would necessarily mean that you're going to somehow bring the Karban Shalmei Simcha on Erev Sukkot in order to eat it now into the night. So the Bryce is not sure, this extra simcha, what's it adding? So Kishu Omer Ach Chalak. So the way the Mepharshim understand this is, the word ach sameach is a miut. It's coming to include something less. So it's saying you got to choose one. It's not including kind of the bookends of the whole holiday, as if to say, eat Shalmei Simcha on the first evening of Sukkot, as if to say you should somehow bring it on Erev Sukkot, so that you eat it on the Erev, on the first evening of Sukkot, and also on the night of Shmini Atzeres. It's not doing both. You got to choose one. And we're choosing, implicitly the Gemara is kind of saying here, we're choosing the Shmini Atzeres evening of Shalmei Simcha. Umarayis l'rabos lele yom tov ha'achron, u'hotzi lele yom tov ha'rishon. Why are we choosing to add Shmini Atzeres, meaning the night of Shmini Atzeres, and not the first night of Sukkot? Marba ani lele yom tov ha'achron, sheyesh simcha lefanav, u'motzi ani lele yom tov ha'rishon, sheyin simcha lefanav. As we've just pointed out, the Shalmei Simcha, it's logical to bring it on the seventh day of Sukkot, and then continue eating it as an observance of Shmini Atzeres on the night of Shmini Atzeres. It's less logical to think that you're going to bring a Shalmei Simcha on Erev Sukkot and then eat it on the first night of Sukkot, because it's not even Sukkot yet. Why would you bring a Shalmei Simcha on a day when it's not Yontif?
Would that, if you're bringing it on the, Yom Shvi Sukkot, and then, but it's being rolled over in a way for a new Chag.
Yeah.
Does that kind of presuppose that there may be like a level of Hemshech?
Maybe, but the Gemara is going to reconcile that immediately. The Gemara doesn't even do it explicitly. It's kind of in Rashi explains that once you already add the night of Shmini Atzeres, so Shmini Atzeres is its own holiday. Exactly. The night doesn't get its carbon. And so the Rashi kind of says there's a kal v'chomer working behind the scenes, as if to say, if you're already going to be marba through the pasuk, Hashami Simcha observance at night, so then all the more so you're being marba the next day, and that's when you're really going to bring your Shalmei Simcha of Shmini Atzeres, the next day. It's a complicated limud here, it's a complicated drasha, but basically we're pulling in an extra evening. We're saying we'd rather pull in the extra evening at the back end because that's preceded by a holiday that has a logical continuance of Shalmei Simcha. But once we're doing that, we're saying, no, that's not the time to bring your Shalmei Simcha. The time to bring your Shalmei Simcha for Shmini Atzeres is on the next day on Shmini Atzeres itself. And that's how this kind of very complicated drasha works out to add Shalmei Simcha being brought on Shmini Atzeres. That's the bottom line. That's what Rashi says. It's this long Rashi, Rabos Leili Yom Tov Ha'acharon. At the very end it says, Vashmi'inan, right, the three lines from the bottom of that Rashi, B'kal V'chomer. Go five lines. V'al Karchach Laila Israbi, Shusam V'chashos Yamin. So in the end, this Rashi is bringing in the night of Shmini Atzeres, because that's attached, it's adjacent to the seven. Dekra the Yom Asi V'kal V'chomer. And then the next day of Shmini Atzeres is brought with a Kal V'chomer. V'ashminan Shabishlamim Hanizbachim B'chagas Sukkos Yisamchu B'leil Shmini She'enu Yachol La'akriv B'layla. That these Shlamim you should be adding on that night because you can't bring it during the day and whatever. So the point is that this is the addition of the Shmini Atzeres of the Maybe I'm wrong. The last one of Rashi says, "Vashminan Shlomim Hanizbachim Bechag Hasukos Yisam Chubleil Shmini." I'm wrong. I don't think you bring the next day. The Shlomim that were brought on this. So Mitch, maybe you're right. This does kind of imply a continuance more than I said before, right? Shlomim Hanizbachim Bechag Hasukos Yisam Chubleil Shmini Sheinu Yachol Akir Balayla. You can't bring that carbon at night. You have to bring that carbon during the day. It's the Shlomim that you bring on the seventh day that you're now going to continue into the night, and that's the observance of Shalmei Simcha that we're talking about Shmini Atzeres. That's what it sounds like from Rashi at least. Okay, fine. That's that Gemara. Now we have a new Mishnah. Mishnah says Sukkah Shiva. So the Sukkah, we've just at length on the previous daf, we're talking about how the Sukkah really is limited to Sukkot. Shmini Atzeres only has an observance of Sukkot in Chutz La'aretz because of the Safek Yom. Right, that was last week's stuff. This Mishnah clarifies Sukkah is really an observance that is limited to Sukkot, right? Sukkah Shiva. You're going to sit in the Sukkah for 7 days of Sukkot. And specifically not going into the eighth day, at least in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah says, Ketzad, how does this work practically? Gamar Milechol, when you finish your meal on the seventh day of Sukkot, Lo Yatir Es Sukkaso. So you might be tempted to start disassembling your sukkah immediately after the meal. But you shouldn't do that because it's Yontif, first of all. It's second of all, as Rashi points out, because you might have a snack in the afternoon on the seventh day of Sukkah. So you still need your Sukkah. Don't be so quick to dismantle your Sukkah. However, aval morid es hakelim min hamincha ulamala mipnei kavod yom tova acharon shel chag. So the Mishnah was already sensitive to the fact that all your chairs and tables, your folding tables, your chairs are outside in the Sukkah. And there's a new holiday coming, Shmini Atzeres, and you're going to need to have your meal the night of Shmini Atzeres, meaning the night after the seventh day of Sukkot, in your house, and you're going to be missing your chairs. So the Mishnah already says, and is sensitive to this idea, generally speaking, we can't be meichin from one yontif to another. You can't do preparation from one yontif to another. But this Mishnah seems to be saying that you can do some forms of achana late in the day. Once it's already clear, you're not going to be eating anymore. It's already now late in the day, min hamincha, the time of Pag Mincha, until afterwards.
Wasn't the halacha already established earlier that the practice is to continue eating the sukkah, but without halacha?
Well, that's right. That's in Chutz L'Arts. This mission is talking about in Eretz Yisrael when we're not going to do that. The Gemara is about to get into that complication. But it's a little surprising that the mission is allowing you to move your chairs already indoors already while it's still the seventh day. You'd think you'd have to wait till you light candles on the eighth day to do any achanas for the night of Shmini Atzeres. So I'm sorry?
Can't you do cooking and stuff like that on Hashanah Rabba for Shmini Atzeres? Like for the night especially?
Well, Hashanah Rabba is Chol HaMoed really, but we're...
Isn't that what we're talking about?
That's exactly what we're talking about. I'm sorry, you're right. That's exactly what we're talking about. You're right. The complication of the Yachana, thank you. Complication of Yachana gets into when the Gemara is talking about. You're right. The Mishnah, that's not complicated. You're right. The Mishnah, we're talking about the end. It's thank you. It's still Chol HaMoed. It's still Hashanah Rabba. And you can move your chairs already in for Shmini Atzeres. Thank you. Good. You're no controversy there. Now the Gemara starts. So the Gemara says, Ein lo kelim lahorid mahu. What if you have no chairs to move in? So first of all, by the way, an interesting little wrinkle in the Mishnah is it says Morid es hakelim. If you look at that little star, that's putting you to Rashi and Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. If you look in Rashi and Shabbos Kuf Nun Dalet, Rashi there, just kind of out of context, says that the reason why it uses the lashon of Morid is because their sukkahs were often on their roofs. And therefore, when it's talking about disassembling the sukkah, or at least disassembling the chairs and taking them inside, we think of taking them inside as you'd pull them inside the door. But the Mishnah here says the lashon of morid, of lowering them, because their sukkahs were on their roof. Just a little historical note that Rashi points out in Shabbos. Fine.
Well, it's more work.
It's more work, I guess. You got to go downstairs. Yeah. The Gemara says, "Ein lo kelim lahorid mahu." What if you have no chairs, no stuff to bring down, then what should you do? Then what should you do? So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Inglo kelim, eloki shtamish mayishtamish. You have no chairs. How did you eat all sukkahs long? So the Gemara clarifies, in ela inglo makom lahurid kelav mahu. What if you have no place indoors to put your chairs? Meaning, you might be faced with a situation where, because of your whole setup of your sukkah, you just don't have room inside. You people were, maybe we had guests, extra guests on sukkahs, and they were all sleeping in, so I guess they should have been sleeping in the sukkah. But whatever, you had your house all filled with stuff. Because of sukkahs, it's not so easy to just switch from sukkahs to Shmini Atzeres, and then all of a sudden kind of move everything inside to your dining room. You have no place inside to put your chairs. What should you do? In other words, it's not in a situation where it's not easy to transition from eating in your sukkah to eating in your house, and you need to eat in your sukkah. That's the kind of most comfortable place to eat, and you're faced with the problem of Baal Tosef, because after sukkahs is over, you really shouldn't be performing the mitzvah of sukkah. And so the Gemara is saying, what should you do if, practically speaking, the most comfortable place to eat is in your sukkah? And it's not going to be sukkahs anymore. It's going to be Shmini Atzeres. So what should you do? So Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi Amar, Poches ba arba. You should disassemble part of the schach, a area of 4x4. Now, Tosfos points out here, I don't understand why you have to disassemble it 4x4. The amount of schach that you'd have to take away in order to make your sukkah puzzle so that it's no longer a sukkah, it's only three tefachim. That's what Tosafot says. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch, or the Mishnah Berurah says that the reason is because it has to be a heker. Right? The whole point here is you're trying to make it very clear, you're trying to make it very apparent to any observer that you are not sitting in the sukkah here in order to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkahs. Mitzvah of sukkah, you're sitting in the sukkah simply because that's the practical place to eat. And so the way to accomplish that is to disassemble the schach in a way that it's nicker, that it's readily apparent to anyone seeing that you're not sitting in a sukkah, or you're at least not sitting in a kosher sukkah, you're not sitting in a place where you're trying to be making the mitzvah of sukkah. And so therefore the Gemara here, according to Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi, says, take away schach in the amount of four tefachim. So that is clear, it's not a sukkah, and then it's no problem. You can sit in your sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, and Simchas Torah, it's not a problem. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Amar, Madlik ba es haner. You should light a candle in the sukkah. So why would you light a candle in the sukkah? So Rashi points out that the Gemara much earlier on Daf Chaf Tes pointed out that at least in a small sukkah, you're not supposed to light a candle in your sukkah because we're worried about hazard, we're worried about the sukkah burning down. And so one of the halachos of sukkah is that you should not light a candle in the sukkah. And the Gemara here is supposing, or Rabbi Shua ben Levi is supposing, that if you light a candle in your sukkah and kind of push this halacha to its limits and be a little risky, then it's also going to be clear that you're not sitting in this sukkah as a way of being mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah, because no one who's mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah ever lights a candle in the sukkah. Everyone knows that when you're sitting in a small sukkah, you don't light a candle in your sukkah, and so doing something a little out of the ordinary by lighting a candle is again some kind of heker that you're not sitting in a sukkah to be mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah.
So, if let's say I had an awning where my sukkah is, and then on the last Yom Tov, we're just gonna roll it over. It's also possible the sukkah, right?
It's possible. I have to look at the Mishnah Berurah. It could be that any like similar heker to taking off the schach. I guess that's similar to taking off the schach, right? Because as long as it's kind of apparent, I would guess that
someone who literally took his dining room table, disassembled it, reassembled it in the porch with his sukkah, and then for the last day, you cannot disassemble stuff, and so he had to eat in the sukkah.
Right, it's not easy.
So what he did is he undid his awning, and this way he was possessed the sukkah, and the last day they ate there.
Yeah,
it's not a sukkah anymore, but you know, there's no other way.
I'm still puzzled on a small sukkah.
Oh, here we go. Look at this. The Dirshu Mishnah Berurah says, "Ain't right that you need a heker." We tell the that she psul yed nicker. That's going to be very apparent what the psul is. Because of Abikur Yaakov, shul moil haniach schach pusul b'makom hakasher, kevin shein's a nicker. Right, to put pusul schach on top, that doesn't do the trick, even though you're puzzling the sukkah because it's not apparent. No one's scrutinizing the schach. Achin, he stopped. He wasn't sure. He moa lifro sad in tachas aschach akasher boven a posel sukkah. He wasn't sure whether putting some kind of thing under the schach or on top of the schach would work. The Ben Yishchai says that doesn't work because it's not nikar. That you need avir. Meaning, if you move the schach, then it's clear. There's a gaping hole in the sukkah, and it's very clear that it's a posel sukkah. But apparently, these poskim don't think it's nikar enough to put the tarp over.
But it's only posel in that area.
No, not depend. If it's a small enough sukkah, then it might passel the whole sukkah. Depending on how it's situated, you're right. You might benefit from dofen akuma, and then that would be a problem. But it's talking about where you move enough in the right places so that it passels the whole sukkah.
Also, if you put a garbage pail in the sukkah.
So that's the end of the Gemara here. So it's hold on. So the Gemara said one thing you could do in a small sukkah, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, is light a candle. V'lo pligi, halan v'halahu. They're not arguing. One was in Eretz Yisrael, and one is in Chutz La'aretz, because as we just pointed out, or as I mistakenly attributed to the Mishnah a few minutes ago, in Chutz La'aretz, as we've been saying on the last daf, you still have to eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, right? Just without a bracha. So halan v'halahu means that one was talking about B'nai Bavel. And therefore, in Bavel, you can't start disassembling the schach on the sukkah and making it a real pasul sukkah, because then you can't sit in it, or you can't be in the kind of mitzvah of Safek Yom, of eating in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So there you have to leave it intact. And once it's already yontif, you can't start disassembling it on yontif. And so therefore, there, so one second. So halon, Rashi says, L'bnei Bavo, Shashmin Shalom, Safik, Shvidu, Kimu, B'kvid, Yarech, Madlik, Bazanir. So in Chutz Laretz, there you'd put the candle in because you can't do the more drastic remedy of disassembling Schach because you need it on Yontif. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, where at the end of Hoshana Rabbah, as Yosef pointed out, at the end of Hoshana Rabbah, there you could start disassembling the sukkah. You could start taking down the schach. There you can do that, and there that's you can do that more drastic remedy. But the point is that in Chutz Laretz, the way to do it is with the less drastic remedy of putting the candle in the sukkah. Again, so you have to kind of transfer this. In Chutz Laretz, where we're talking about, there's a machlokes we're showing here. Rashi makes it sound like you need to do this on Shmini Atzeres itself. That's difficult because on Shmini Atzeres, this should be it should look like a sukkah just like any other day of Yantif, right? The only difference is you don't make a bracha. The other Rishonim all say that no, it's when we're talking about making this heker in order to eat in a sukkah even after the holiday, in Chutz Laretz, that's talking about on Simchas Torah, on the ninth day, right? So that's probably the pshat, well, whatever, it's Machlokes Rishon. So Rashi seems to say that we're still talking about the eighth day, and in Chutz Laretz you're just going to put a candle there. That's hard to understand because why would you need to make a heker on the eighth day? You should be sitting in the sukkah on the eighth day. The only difference is that you don't make a bracha. The other Rishonim say that when we're talking about Chutz Laretz here, we're talking about the heker you'd need to make if you wanted to continue sitting in the sukkah on Simchas Torah itself, on Simchas Torah, on the ninth day, after there's absolutely no mitzvah of eating in the sukkah. And so let's learn like that for a second. So in Chutz Laretz, right, halon v'halohu, in Chutz Laretz, the heker you're going to need to do, to make, in order to eat in the sukkah on Simchas Torah, because there's no mitzvah of sukkah at all, is to light a candle in the sukkah, so that it's very clear that this is not being done for the mitzvah of sukkah, because no one ordinarily lights a candle in their sukkah, based on the Gemara on Daf Chav Tes, which say you shouldn't light a candle in a small sukkah. The Gemara then immediately interjects and says, well, that works for a small sukkah. Hatenach sukkah katana, where it's inappropriate to light a candle, so there light a candle in order to make it clear you're not doing this as a mitzvah of sukkah. Sukkah gedola mai ikal meimar. What are you going to do in a big sukkah where all yontif long you might have lit candles in your big sukkah? It's not a problem. What would be the heker? And the answer is demayo ba ma'ani michla. Bring dirty dishes into the sukkah. Mm-hmm. During sukkahs, you're supposed to clear out your dirty dishes in the sukkah. You're not supposed to have like a basin sitting there or a garbage can sitting there with all your dirty dishes. It's not respectful of the sukkah. And so if you do something slightly disrespectful to the sukkah, like leaving the dirty dishes out on the ninth day of sukkahs, so then that's going to solve the problem. D'amar Rava, mani michla bar mitalasa. Rava says you should keep your dirty dishes outside of the sukkah. Mani mishtaya b'matalasa, but slightly dirty cups, which they're not quite as grimy as dirty dishes, so that you could keep in the sukkah. But the point is that's the halacha on sukkahs. In order to make a heker here that you're eating in the that you're eating in something that's not a sukkah, or that you don't want to be in the kindness of sukkah for eating on the ninth day on Simchas Torah in Chutz Laretz, you should just leave dirty dishes in the sukkah, and that solves the problem.
Who's the recognition for? Is it for yourself to show symbolically? Is it for people outside? Because obviously, some of those solutions, like adjusting the schach, right, removing a few tefachim, that would be noticeable from an outsider seeing, oh, okay.
So right.
As opposed to like a dirty cup or a dish or whatever, a pot, that would obviously not be visible to the outside.
Yeah, I think it's for both. I think my sense is what the Gemara is trying to get at here with this heker is that you want it to be absolutely clear, probably more to yourself than others, or maybe there's a Marasayan issue also, but you want to be absolutely clear that you're not sitting in the sukkah with a kavana of sukkah. Right? When the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah talks about the parameters of Baal Tosef, right? And it says that for things that take place, I think the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, it talks specifically about sukkah, and it says that you need, it's in the context of the sugya of mitzvah srichos kavana.
Right.
And it says that in order to be over Baal Tosef for sukkah, chutz lezmano, which is exactly what we're talking about here, you need kavana latzeis. And So I assume if you kind of put this sugya together with that sugya, and I'm sure the Rishonim talk about this, then it's talking more about its kavana latzeis. There might be an element of marasayin also, but I'm guessing that this kind of dovetails with the discussion of kavana and the idea that you're not over Baal Tosef unless you have kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah.
Then you would need to bring a special sign into the sukkah that says it's not really sukkah.
Maybe that'll work just as well. Yeah, maybe that'll work just as well. I mean, you know, these achronim that we just saw in the dirshu here talked about something that's insufficient as a heker because it's not noticeable enough. But it could very well be that another noticeable heker, other than doing these things, will do the trick. Right? I mean, the Gemara is already suggested too. Maybe these are just examples, being modeling nair or bringing dirty dishes in. Maybe putting a big sign that says it's not sukkah, this is not a sukkah, or something like that would also work.
But I'm saying you wouldn't need that because you don't have the kavana.
Meaning,
you know, according to the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, I don't do anything. Right. I don't have the kavana, and that's good. You're good.
Right. Yeah. You have to look in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. This seems to say that Chazal want some kind of hecker because they don't trust you not to have the kavana. Maybe it was just you just sat in the sukkah all 7 days, so you're sitting there and eating your challah in the sukkah, your mind's going to slip. So you need some kind of very clear simon, some very clear hecker that it's not...
Let's say for Simchat Torah, it's a nice day, and yeah, you sit in the back, and then your sukkah's there.
Yeah.
You just roll, to some extent, your schach.
Yeah, well, the schach in Chutzlars is not going to work very well because of the muktzah problem, right? That's going to work in Eretz Yisrael, where you finished it at the end of the Chol HaMoed. But, yeah, I mean, this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. V'chutz la'aretz she'tzarech leishev ba b'shmini, gomer milechol b'yom ha'shmini, morid kelav u'mefano samimene. Right, you should take out the stuff. Don't sit in the sukkah anymore. Sit inside now. V'im engol makom morid es kelav, and you have no place to put it. Rotzo lechol ba b'tshi, and you want to eat in your sukkah. This is the Shulchan Aruch talking. Eino yachol lifchos ba mipteshu yomtov. You can't take the schach away because it's yomtov. Umayase leker. What should you do as a hacker? You need a hacker. Im haisa katana she'asr laniach ba haner b'shar yamim. If it's a small sukkah, put the... Yeah, this is literally the Gemara. My gedolish mutter laniach ba haner machnis ba kederes akores v'chayotze bahem. Kedei wa haker she'ipsuo k'shar nigmar mitzvasa. You should do that as the hacker. This is halacha l'maaseh, what you should do. Yeah. Okay, fine, new Mishnah. This new Mishnah is going to completely switch topics and talk about the service in the Beis Hamikdash of Nisuch Hamayim, right? All throughout the year you had wine libations, Nisuch HaYayin in the Beis Hamikdash. The special thing about Sukkot is Nisuch Hamayim, the water libations, where you're pouring the water on the Mizbeach, and the Mishnah here is going to tell us exactly how that's done. Nisuch HaMayim Ketzad. How does Nisuch HaMayim work? Sluchis Shel Zahav, they would take a jug made out of gold, machazeket shlosha lugim, that was big enough to hold 3 lug of water, hayomimale min hashiluach, they would fill it up from the shiluach, which Rashi says was a spring that was near Yerushalayim. And they would bring the gold jug of water, of 3 lugim, from shiluach, and they'd bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. They would bring it to what would the gate into the Beis HaMikdash, the entrance into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Azara. Rashi says it's one of the entrances into the Azara, and it's called the Shar HaMayim. Why? Because that's where you bring in this Nisuch HaMayim. So you come to the Shar HaMayim, and then they blow shofar. Tiku, Veiru, Vitiku, you do a Tekiya Shvarim, Tekiya, Allah, Bakev, then you bring it into the Azara. Allah Bakevas, they'd bring it to the ramp of the Mizbeach. Upano was smolo. The Kohen would walk up the ramp of the Mizbeach. He would turn to his left. Now, normally, for most avodas of the Beis HaMikdash, you would go to the right and circle the Mizbeach, kind of the perimeter, starting at the right of the ramp and go around that square of the Mizbeach. This was the exception. Here you'd go to the left. This is one of the exceptions. You'd go to the left. Panu Esmoli, you go to the left. Shnei Safalim Shel Kesef Hayusham. And there were 2 basins made out of silver sitting right at the base of the Mizbeach, meaning right at the top of the Mizbeach, at the top of the ramp. Rav Yehuda Omer Shel Sidhayu. Rav Yehuda says they weren't made out of silver, but rather they were made out of limestone. And Rav Yehuda says the reason why the Tanakhama thought maybe that it was made out of silver is because they were blackened because of the wine that was spilled into it. Because for the Nisuch HaYayin, you would spill wine, and over the years they would kind of blacken and kind of take on a property of shiny silver. Fine. But whatever the material is, Uminukavim Kamin Shnei Chotmin. There were holes in these basins, like the two holes of a nose. Kamin Shnei Chotmin Dakin, like two nose holes that were very thin. Echad Me'uva Ve'echad Dak. One hole or one basin had a thicker hole, thicker opening at the bottom, and one had a thinner hole at the bottom. Why? Kadeshi Yu Shneem Kalin Bebas Achas. In order that if you were going to pour wine into one of them and water into the other, wine has a higher viscosity than water. Water flows through very quickly and it'll empty out immediately. Wine will empty it out almost immediately. Wine is just a slightly, you know, in terms of timing it, the wine's going to take a slightly longer time to empty out. And so they would adjust the size of the openings to account for this so that they would both end up draining out at the same time. Maravo Shalmayim, the west one, the one that was more on the west, was designated for water. Mizracho Shalyayim, the basin that was designated for wine. What did I just say? The one on the west was for water, and the one on the east was for wine. Ira shalmayim l'toch shalyayim v'shalyayim l'toch shalmayim yatsa. The Mishnah says it's not that important which one was designated for which. Ideally, you'd do the wine on the west and the water on the west and the wine on the east. But if you mixed it up and you put the wine in the water one and the water in the wine one, that would still be okay. You'd still be yotze the mitzvah of nisa chamayim. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on two points here. Bilug hayaminaseich kol shmona. That as far as the water libations go, the water jug, that wasn't, as the Mishnah started off by saying, it was three lugan. So the Tanakhama holds it was three lugan for the water and three lugan for the wine. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, when it comes to the wine one, it was only one lug. So it was three for wine and one for mayim. And second of all, he points out that it was kol shmona, which Rashi points out, this is disagreeing on the Tanakhama, who said it was just on, this is just on Shmini Atzeres. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it was done all 8 days. Fine. Now the Mishnah points out another point. V'laminaseich omer lo, the person who's actually doing these libations, the person who's pouring the wine and the water, they would tell him, Hagbe yadcha, raise up your hand. We want to be able to see very clearly that you're doing this properly. Don't kind of do it secretively by putting the jug near the bottom. Rather, raise the jug high and do it, le'in kol, do it according to everyone. Why? Shepam echad nasach echad al gabe raglov. Because one time there was a kohen who did it quietly and poured it on his leg instead of pouring it into the special basins. Why was that? Rashi says because the tzedukim didn't believe in this whole nisuch hamayim business. So apparently this was a kohen who had gone off the derech, a tzeduki kohen, and he messed up the whole process by just pouring it on his leg rather than pouring it in the basin. And so they would warn the kohanim, do it so that everyone could see what you're doing. And in that situation where the kohen had done it on his leg rather than doing it properly, people saw Urugamuhu kol am bisrogeim. Everyone threw their srogan at him. They attacked him with a srogan.
They didn't have tomatoes.
They didn't have rocks. Actually, it's interesting. Some of the Rishonim point out that there must not have been just a srogan. There must have been rocks there also, because we're going to see in the Gemara later on, they actually broke a piece of the mizbeach. And it's hard to imagine that a srogan could break a piece of mizbeach off. So it must have been hard rocks also, but at least a mixture of a srogan and rocks. Okay, k'maseu b'chol, kach maseu b'shabbos. And this ritual, this meaning the same way that they would do it on Chol, the way we just described, they would also do it on Shabbos. But there was one difference. The problem with Shabbos was you couldn't carry the water from the Shiloach, from that spring, to the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos, because you'd have problems of carrying on Shabbos. So rather they prepared the water from before Shabbos and let it sit over. The Gemara on Daf Nun, I believe, is going to get into the complication that arose from that, because you can't have the water sitting over. You're going to have a problem of Lina if it's in a Klei Sharis, whatever. But we'll see that. And that's specifically why I just kind of gave away the punchline. They would specifically use a kli of gold that wasn't mikudeshes. It was like a whole of dika kli rather than a specific kli used in the Beis Hamikdash regularly. Because if it was used in a real Beis Hamikdash kli, you'd have a problem of lina of the water laying over for overnight. And that would be a problem. It would possibly, if it would lay overnight. So they used a separate kind of whole kli.
Lina
is a problem in that you're not allowed to have things left, some things. It's one of the halachos of the Beis Hamikdash. You can't have things staying overnight past their time. And so, like, for example, the Gemara is going to get into it tomorrow, next off. But the point is that this water could be problematic if it was in a kli sharis, if it was in a Beis Hamikdash type of kli overnight. And that would be a problem here because they would fill it up before Shabbos and they'd have to use it the next day. So they would dafka put it in a kli that wasn't a kli sharis. In order to avoid the problem of lina. We're going to see it's a machlokas about whether lina happens even if you have kavana not to have lina, whatever. But that's the next, that's memtes. Okay. Or I think it's nun even. Whatever. Fine. So they would fill it up before Shabbos, right? Umenicha belishka, and then they leave it overnight, and then they pick it up on the next day. And do the nisacha yayin amayim with it. Nishpacha oniskalsa. However, if this kli got accidentally turned over, it spilled, or it was accidentally uncovered, so that was a problem. And then hayamamali mina kior. Then they would just take new water from the kior shayayin v'amayim megulim psulim l'gavim mizbeach. So obviously, if it spilled, that's a problem because you don't have your water. But uncovering it is also a problem. Why? Because wine or water that is uncovered and left unattended is pasul for the mizbeach. Why is it pasul? So we know, generally speaking, there's halacha of mayim megulim that we're not really knowing like these days, but the chashash was that a snake would come and drink some of the water and leave some of his eres there. Now, The standard halacha of mayim megulim is they're not allowed to drink uncovered water because there's a problem that it might be dangerous because there might be snake poison in the water. This is not that problem. This is a slightly different problem where we're concerned that the snake might have drank some of the water and then left some of his poison in there. And the problem is that you need the shear, you need the lug, or shloshel, you need the lug, according to Rabbi Yehuda, or shloshel lug, according to Tanakam, you need the shear of water. And here you have less than a shear. Because it's only 99.9% water and it's 0.9%, it's 0.1% snake venom. So that why that's
was that
that's
something that they did every throughout the entire year or just on Sukkot?
Nisuch HaMayim was done only on Sukkot. Only on Sukkot. Nisuch HaYayin, there were times that they did it during the year.
Because in Eretz Yisrael, on Sukkot, it's rather hot.
Yeah.
And if we're looking at the 0.0% of, you know, like if it would...
Yeah.
If it would evaporate during at night, then you'd still be lower.
That's a good question. I wonder why. It's a good question. Why is the Mishnah focused on the snake risk? Why isn't it just worried about the evaporation risk? Why, forget about a snake? Maybe it's just
extra water in this keli. And then don't use all of it.
That would solve the snake problem also. Then
no, it wouldn't, because there's still the percentage is meaning whatever amount you draw out, it's going to be 0.1% snake venom.
Oh, you're saying the fact that it's not pure water would be problematic, not just the shear.
But if it evaporates, it's still pure water.
Right.
Right.
Okay, maybe that's the answer.
Yeah.
But I understood from when I read Rashi, I understood that the problem was that it doesn't...
Airtight.
Let's see. Shem shasim and nachash ve'aris murav bahem nimsa sheinim nasich mayim kashir trei aris mashlim mishliuran. Right. I thought the problem was the contaminating. Right. Well, I thought it's, from Rashi's language, it sounds like the problem is the amount rather than the
the venom will complete that amount. So meaning that you're going to have only 99.9% of it water, and the other 0.1% is going to be venom. But if it evaporates, it's still 100% water.
Yeah, but he seems to be focusing on the purity of it rather than on these. He seems to be so focusing on the size of it rather than the purity of it.
But the point is that you don't have a way of calculating what the amount is that's venom.
He says the snakes are drinking from the brook.
Calculate how much
meaning maybe it was a huge snake and he put in a quart of venom and sucked out a quart of water. Right. That might be. Okay, it's interesting. That might be. That might be the answer that you just don't know. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara is going to leave that discussion behind and it's going to say, Minahani Mili. How do you know that you do tekiah, that you do a shofar blowing in the context of this whole Nisach HaMayim? How do you know you do shofar blowing? Minahani Mili. Amar Rav Ina. Rav Ina says, "De Amar Akra Ushafte Mayim Bisason." It doesn't just say Ushafte Mayim; it says Ushafte Mayim Bisason. You should do it with joy, and that's the source for why you should do Tkiyah Shofar in the context of this. It should be a joyous, joyous kind of event, and that's why you blow the shofar. Now the Gemara has a very unusual discussion. Hano Treimini. There were two apostates, two apikorsim, two people who kind of went off the derech, two minim. Chad shmei Sason, the chad shmei Simcha. One was named Sason, and one was named Simcha. It sounds like a joke. Two people are on a boat, right? One was named Sason, one was Simcha. But anyway, these were two minim. One was named Sason, and one was named Simcha. So I'm really Sason was Simcha. Sason said to Simcha, "Ana adif na minach. I'm better than you." Because in that pasuk it says sason first, and only simcha after. I'm really simcha with sason. Simcha says to sason, "I'm not dif na minach. I'm better than you." Diksiv simcha v'sason la'yehudim. This week's writing Yonah Dioma Megillas Esther, it says simcha v'sason la'yehudim. Simcha is recited first. So I'm really sason with simcha. Sason said simcha. Chad yuma shavkun v'shavyucha parvanka. One day you're going to get chased down by people. Dechsiv ki v'simcha teitzeyu, because it says that, you know, they're going to go out with simcha. They're going to take you out or whatever. They're going to chase you. Amro le simcha l'sason. Simcha said to sason, chad yuma shavkucha umaucha b'maya. In the future, the Jews are going to fill water. I think that you're going to fill water on my behalf. Diksiv u'shavtem mayim b'sason. It says that Sason is going to be the one that fills the water. So Amar, fine, that's the end of that story. What on earth is that story about? So the Gra apparently attributes some kind of Kabbalistic meaning to this. If you look at the Marasha says that what this story proves is that Minim, who try to use psukim to prove things, don't know what they're talking about. And this is an example of kind of an absurd conversation between two minim to demonstrate that even when the minim are quoting psukim from Yirmiyahu or wherever, Yeshaya, to prove their religion, it's all taken out of context, and this kind of demonstrates how absurd the way they use psukim are.
How do we understand minim, what it means? Is it like harassing, or
it's like apostates, I think. Like people who went off, who are, I think in this context, it's like Jews.
They're not like
Stukim. They might be like Stukim or other kind of apostates.
It's a very strong sectarian period, right? So it's like
one of these other sects, yeah, that were, right. Yeah, exactly. And I guess, and it's consistent with what the Marsha is saying, that they were using Psukim to prove their point. And so don't take them too seriously.
They did, because all the different sects believed in Torah Shabbatah. Right. They believed in Tanakh.
Right.
So the fact that they would have knowledge and some versatility, you know, with Tanakh is not surprising.
Yeah, right. I mean, these were early Christians. Even later day Christians were basing themselves off Tanakh.
That was one of the names of one of
I think so. I think, yeah, I think a lot of times when we talk about these minim, they're early Christians. And
but they had a good teacher. Esav did the same thing. He came to his father saying, how do you me'aser the melech?
Right.
You know,
this yeah, they're exactly, working off the basics, and then they just exactly, they get it wrong. This is, right.
You know, they had a good teacher who taught them how to
kind of... Yeah, but this is like a striking way to kind of prove the point. They don't know what they're talking about when they teach psukim. Okay, Amar le'ahu mina d'shmei Sason u'Rabbi Avohu. So this min, there was another min whose name was Sason, and he said to Rabbi Avohu, Asidisu d'timau li'maya li'alma da'asi. In the future, you are going to fill water for me in Olam Haba. Tchsiv ushaftem b'ayim b'sason, because it says that ushaftem b'ayim b'sason, similar to what that last min said. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Avo responded to him, Ihav uksiv l'sason kidka amras. It's true. That would have been a good pasuk to prove your point that one day you're going to be served water in Olam Haba. If that would have been good if it said Ushavta Mayim Lisason, two four sason or two sason. Hashadhsiv bisason. Hashadhsiv bisason, but the fact that the pasuk doesn't say that, it says Ushavta Mayim Bisason, Mashre Daugavra, Mashfinan Leguda, Malina Bemaya. So since it says bisason, the better interpretation of that, if you want to interpret it literally, is that in Olam Haba, they're going to take your skin, Sason, and make it into a jug and fill that with water. Meaning, if you want to interpret this pasuk literally, what?
Pouring it in because
in Sason, you're going to become a jug. Yeah.
As well as clay, as opposed to for Sason.
Right. Again, another way of pointing out to this min, this is not how you darshan psukim. The pasuk is not talking about how they're going to, you know, pour water for you. If that was the case, and you really want to go with that interpretation, so then it means you're going to become a jug. But that's not what we're talking about. Okay. Yeah. All right, back to serious stuff. Oh, about Kavas Upanu Smola. So when they did this Nisach HaMayim, they would walk up the ramp. The Kohen would walk up the ramp. And as we said, normally he'd go to the right for other Karbanas, but here he would go to the left. So Tanu Rabbanan Kola Olin L'Mizbeach Olin Derech Yamin. Typically, for other Karbanas, Kohanim would go to the right. Umakifin viordim derech smol, and they would circle the mizbeach and do their various things, and they would go, and they would come out derech smol, and they would come down the left side. Chutz, except for three things. Chutz mina ol l'shlosha dvarim. Okay. Chutz mina ol l'shlosha dvarim halal u'sholin derech smol v'chozrin al ha'ekev. And except for three things where they would go up the left and kind of turn around and come back down right at the left, meaning they wouldn't circle it. They would just go straight to the left and turn around. Ve'ulain, and these are them, Nisach HaMayim, the one we just said, Nisach HaYayim, so Nisach HaMayim that they did on Sukkot, Nisach HaYayim for other things, Ve'ola Sa'of, Kisharabsa B'Mizrach. And the third thing was Ola Sa'of, when there were a lot of Kohanim, meaning typically Ola Sa'of would be done on the right side, actually. But there were times where there was just too many Kohanim, it was too crowded there, and so extra Kohanim would go to the left side. And that's the third example of things that were done on the left side of the Mizbeach rather than done on the right side. Ela Shayu Mashkirin, the Mishnah had said that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it wasn't... silver basins, but rather it was limestone basins, but they were black and looked a little like silver because of the wine libations that had been poured in them. So Bishlama Diyayin, remember we said there were two basins. One was designated for the wine, was designated for the water. So I understand now, this is the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Bishlama Diyayin Mashchir. I understand why the one that was designated for wine turned black, because you'd pour wine over it, I guess it was red wine, and it would turn black. Demaya amay mashker, but the one for the water, why would that turn black? If you were constantly pouring water in it every year, what would make that turn black? So the Gemara answers, kevan damar mar, ira shalmayim v'toch shalyayim, v'shalyayim v'toch shalmayim yatsa, since the Mishnah said that this wasn't ma'akev, if you poured wine into the water one, and you put water in the wine one, that didn't make a difference, you'd still be yotze, so that would happen from time to time. So shomayim asi lashchure. From time to time, they'd pour wine into the water one, and as a result, over time, that become black. Remember, the basement there stood for many years. So you know, by the time that they got around to writing the Mishnah, it was already kind of blackened from years of even mistaken pouring in one thing to the other. We said umenukavim kamin shnei chotmin. We said that they would have holes in the bottom. Our Mishnah presumably is Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer belug haya menasech kol shmona. Rabbi Yehuda would say that they would do a lug. Remember, we said above there was a machlokas where there was one lug or three lugins. So Rabbi Yehuda said it was one lug of mayim. Di Rabbanan ki adadi ninu, because if it was the Rabbanan, so then it should be the same amount. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was three lugin of wine, one lug of mayim. Right? This is before we get to the answer that the viscosity was different. We're trying to figure out why you needed different widths of holes in order that they ended up at the same rate. In order that they emptied out at the same rate, they ended up empty at the same time. So we understand according to Rabbi Yehuda where you had one lug of water and three lug of wine, so then you'd have to have different widths in order that they end up draining at the same time. But according to the Rabbanan, where it was three lug of each, why would you need different widths? So the Gemara answers, "Afilu tamer Rabbanan." Even according to the Rabbanan, "Chamra samech maya kolish." Chamra is very thin. I'm sorry, wine is very thick. Maya kolish and water is thin, and therefore they would empty at different rates, and that's why you needed to be different widths of the holes. Hachinami mstabra, and that's consistent with the following: "Di Rabbi Yehuda, rachav v'katzar islay." If it was talking about Rabbi Yehuda, where there's a very big difference between one lug and three lug, so it wouldn't have used the lashon of dak and me'uva. It would have used the lashon of racha v'katzer, which indicates a bigger difference. Meaning dak and me'uva is a very nominal difference between one and the other. One's just a little thinner than the other. Whereas if we were trying to get three lug to empty at the same rate as one lug, you'd need a much bigger difference between the two holes, and you would have used the lashon of rachav and katzer, which refers to a bigger difference. D'tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer shnei kashvos hayusham echad shomayim ve'echad shoyayin shoyayin pia rachav shomayim pia katzer kadesh yushneim kalim bavas achas shmamina. Because we see another instance where Rabbi Yehuda talks about a difference between the two openings, and he's talking about accounting for a difference between one lug and three lug, where you'd have to have a bigger difference, and he uses the lashon of Rachav and Katzer, referring to a bigger difference. Let's just finish up. We have a minute. Let's just finish up to this. Maravo Shalmayim, we said that the one on the west was for water. Tana Rabbanan, Maise Bitstuki Echad, Sheniseich Agabe Raglov. As we said in the Mishnah, we were talking about a Tzduki who poured it on his feet because he didn't believe in this whole Nisuch HaMayim thing. Viragmu kol am bisrogim, and everyone pelted him with a srogim. V'oso ayom nifkama keren hamizbeach. As a result of that pelting him with a srogim, so the corner of the mizbeach had these like little, I think one amma by one amma pieces, like a each corner had a little keren, a cornerstone that would stick up from the top, and one of the esrogim, or maybe a rock that was among the esrogim, hit it and it broke off. One of the koranos of the mizbeach broke off. They view bul shel melach v'satmuhu, and they brought a rock, a brick of salt, in order to kind of replace it so that visually it would look nice and still look like the mizbeach. And the Gemara points out, lo mipnei shehukshar la'avoda. Not because that would make it kosher lavoda, because in fact, if you're missing one of the kronos of the mizbeach, and you don't have stone keren, and it's just replaced with salt, that wouldn't be good enough, and the mizbeach would be puzzled. You couldn't do the avoda on it. Elo b'nei shul, you're a mizbeach pagum. But rather, just visually, until they could get around to repairing it, they put the salt there so that it would visually look nice and wouldn't look like it's missing something. And the Gemara clarifies, "Shekom mizbeach she'en lo keves lo keren v'lo yisod v'lo ribua pasul avoda," because the mizbeach needs all these elements. It needs the keves, it needs the ramp, it needs the kronos, it needs all four of the corners that stick up. It needs the yisod, which was the a little step up at the base of the mizbeach, Velo rivua, it needs to be perfectly square, not rounded at the corners. And if it's missing any of those elements, it's puzzle as the mizbeach. And so therefore here it was missing the keren, one of the four chronos, because it had been pelted by an esrog or a rock. And that makes it puzzle. And so they would put the salt there just temporarily until they could get around to fixing it so that it would be kosher mizbeach once again. Okay.
All right.